Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Everyone's got that niggling voice in the back of their head, the one that says, maybe you don't always have to be so good. Maybe it wouldn't hurt to do the wrong thing once in a while, or say the thing you know you shouldn't. Well, a new dark comedy at the Speakeasy Stage Company explores what happens when that voice takes control as a demon hand puppet. The play is called Hand to God, and in this scene, Jason, the main character, has just thrown his puppet Tyrone out the window. But he wakes up in the middle of the night, and the puppet is back on his hand.
Tyrone, how'd you get better? How'd I get fixed? I didn't whine and ask questions. I just got that done. I'm glad you're feeling better. You don't want me better. You want me dead.
Well, perhaps even more interesting, Tyrone the puppet, that becomes a mouthpiece for the devil, was initially created for a Christian puppet ministry. Well, playwright Robert Askins wrote Hand to God, and he joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Now, tell me what the inspiration was. I mean, did you participate in a Christian puppet ministry as a kid?
My mother had a Christian puppet ministry when I was growing up. It wasn't like that Christian puppet ministry, but it wasn't too far off. I'm joking. It was great. It was formative, and it was strange. I've always surprised when I talk about it that it seems like a lot of people north of the Mason-Dixon line didn't even know that it existed. We had so many people who were like, that's so creative. That's so amazing.
But seriously, we should describe to people who don't know. Like when Christian
sure,
puppet
totally.
Ministry, is it Bible lessons, Bible study done through
puppets?
It's
usually these really amazing scripts written about tertiary characters.
Mm-hmm.
So the classic example is like the two camels with the wise men on the way to the birth of the baby Jesus. And so you get these really broad children's jokes, and then the message of salvation is slid in there, sometimes pretty awkwardly, but it's great.
And is the ministry, is it for kids mostly?
It is usually by kids for kids.
I see.
It is like the teenagers or the junior high students who are theatrically inclined for the younger kids, for
and
the
did
five
you
and
enjoy
six-year-olds.
Doing it, the puppet ministry.
I was a theatrically inclined individual, and so it was. You know, one of the things I think it's difficult to express to some people is how this is going to sound gross. Ugly parts of the country are, and when I was growing up, there was a lot of natural beauty, but the only place that was architecturally or performatively interesting was the church. Like the only place where human language tried to rise to something, or where the windows were colored glass in order to make it feel special, was in the church. Do you know what I mean? Everything else was like blocky Bauhaus and then like corporate chic. But then like there was this place where words were magic and it was very exciting.
So I mean, by definition, it's the house where human spirit's supposed to rise to the divine, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we have a little bit of tape here from an actual Christian puppet ministry before we talk a little bit more about the fictional one that appears in your play, because I just wanted to give people a sense. And I mean, it's very common, like you said, it's a frequently used and popular form of ministry in many churches in the country. So this is a little clip from Heavenly Treasures puppet ministry. They happen to be based in upstate New York, and a little skit called Backpack to School.
Do you have room in that backpack for the armor of God?
The what?
The armor of God? You gotta take the armor of God to school with you.
The sword of the spirit might puncture her Barbie pencil box.
Very funny. Besides, my school has a zero tolerance policy on weapons. The sword is not a good idea.
Robert Askins, people cannot see how you reacted to that, but you were freaking out.
Oh my God, it was like coming home. It was like diving into a Cinnabon. That feels so right.
Yeah.
So right.
So tell me, where did you get the inspiration, though, to turn this real experience that you had as a child and twist it a little and make, you know, the story in Hand to God is that Tyrone the puppet becomes a vehicle for the devil.
I don't think there is anyone who grew up in the church or who is heavily churched that hasn't wanted to stand up in the service at some point and say, "You're lying. That's wrong. I mean, I don't care how devout your faith is. Everyone doubts their faith. Times of stress, times of trial. And there is something, you don't do it. You look around in the middle of the prayer and you're like, who else is looking around here? And you try to catch somebody's eyes. And that feeling is part of where Tyrone is. But one of the saddest things about monotheism is you only have two settings. You only have divine revelation and then the demonic. Like, say what you want about polytheism, it gives you a couple more outs. So if you want to say those things, if you want to be honest about yourself, your only choice is the devil. And I think that's part of where the play comes from. I mean, I spent a long time writing sort of surreal westerns, you know, growing up in Texas. You know, Sam Shepard is a great model. But they just kept getting funnier and funnier and weirder and weirder and more specific to the way that I grew up. So it wasn't any more crime tales about small town crooks. It became about my mother's puppet ministry.
Are you in the church now?
I'm not. I think like a lot of people, I describe myself as spiritual but not religious. And I mean, I would love to find a church that says what I'd like to hear or what I believe or that what I'm desperately longing for. But it's so hard to find.
So I've got to ask you, so this struggle, this questioning that you say is at the heart of Hand to God, told at times very sharply and darkly and at times very humorously through Tyrone the puppet. I mean, wouldn't many people of faith hear you say, but, Jesus himself questioned. So what's wrong with being one of those people who at some point in time in their journey of faith said you wanted to point out and say this is wrong, that to give voice to the devil?
Oh, there's nothing wrong. Like, I'm not trying to in any way condemn that or say that that is a negative impulse. I'm just saying it's a human impulse. And a lot of the time we have had a lot of devout believers who are not alienated by the show. We have some who are offended. But, you know, that's one of the interesting things about the wiggle room that comedy provides, is it allows for people to let themselves off the hook from dogma. The show is not dogmatic. The show is yearning and questioning and, I think, ultimately generous.
Yeah. Well, let's hear a little bit more from a performance of Hand to God. We have a clip from a scene where there are some kids in the puppet class and they meet Tyrone, the possessed puppet, I guess we can call him. And in this clip, you'll hear Tyrone starting and he's yelling at one of the kids, and the kid's name is Timothy.
Don't look at the kid! Look at me, Jason! I'm not gonna talk to your puppet! Oh, look at the kid! And tell me who you think is in control here.
That's a really important question in the play. Who is in control?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm like, the bleeps are just making it.
We are a family friendly radio.
No, absolutely, 100%. I'm not advocating the lifting of a bleep. Yeah, who is control? Isn't that a great question about our lives? You know what I mean? Is it what I had for breakfast? Is it the last thing I listened to on the radio? You know, behavioral economics, like, how do I make a decision?
Yeah.
You know, it's incredibly complex. And I think, like, so many of these symbols that we invest with power control us as we try to control them. It's just hard to be human.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, I want to play one more clip here because you strike this tender balance between the darkness and the comedy here. And I want to play a little bit of the comedy part. And I have to say, you might even feel uncomfortable laughing, but uncomfortable laughing is important, I have to say. So here's a clip where the pastor of the church, Jason's mom, Jason being the young boy who has the puppet, and his crush, Jessica, they're discussing how to get rid of the puppet because the puppet has said he's the devil.
Is it the puppet that's possessed or Jason?
Jessica?
Oh, that is an interesting question.
I have had enough interesting questions for one day. The devil is in that puppet, and we are going to exorcise him right out and have everyone back home by midnight. That's what I want, and that's what Jesus wants, and that's what's going to happen, right?
Do Lutherans even do exorcisms?
I don't know. I don't think they do. Do they?
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Yeah, it's well, the line that follows, I believe, is after the Reformation, when the church split, it was really a popular service, but it's just not done much anymore, which is true. It's still in the Lutheran canon.
I see. Have you performed the play or had the play staged in communities, you know, where there were the audience was mainly Christian?
Absolutely.
And how did that go?
It went really well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we didn't have any walkouts. I don't think we've had any walkouts. Maybe we had some in London? I don't know.
In London?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. My joke was, you know, we need to make it so that we can sell the seat twice. So like walkout seats, we can sell at a discount. But we didn't have nearly as many as I thought we would. But no, I feel like, again, comedy, it's outrageous, and it's also human. So, you know, there's some for everybody.
Has your mom seen it?
Every iteration.
And?
She loves it. I mean, you know, again, it's so big that there are things that there are things that she knows she did, and then things that there's no way she would have done, and she gets to split the middle, and she also gets to laugh, and it's, you know, she had fun going to the Tonys. She'd never been to London before. Like, what are we gonna do?
Yeah. Well, my last question to you has to wanted to loop back to sort of where we began in terms of your own childhood, because I believe there was one interview where you said that the southernness that you experienced, you grew up in Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the southernness you experienced was at once dangerous and balderized?
Whoa, golly.
What did you mean by that?
Balderization, right? So the guy that scrubs all the dirty parts out of Shakespeare. I think that's another one of those things about a kid wanting to stand up and say you're lying. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I see this world. I see this angry, aggressive world where the bully's tactics win. Don't you dare tell me that love is all I need. Give me love in equal measure with aggression so that I can defend what's right.
Well, Robert Askins is the playwright of Hand to God. It's on stage now at Speakeasy Stage Company. It'll run through February 4th. We've got a lot more information about it at our website, radioboston.org. Robert, thank you so much for the play, and thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.